What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Glitched Podcast. My name is Topher Welsh. To my north in virtual space is
Cap'n Design.
Cap'n Design, aka Eugene Cap'n. And we are Grace with our presence, Grace. Joel Telling, the 3D printing nerd.
Hello, hello, hello.
Dude, you are killing it on YouTube, by the way. 327,000 subscribers, I think, right?
No, I think I've got 297.
Oh, I'm
close to like, 300.
I'm just
like, but we all know on YouTube, it's not the subs that matter. It's the viewership that matters.
Yes, it's the retaining your viewership. It's the engagement. It's the community that you build.
Oh,
that's right.
Topher and I got to celebrate today because we hit 2 million views today.
On
YouTube.
On YouTube.
That's fantastic. Like total.
Right?
So
that's awesome. That's legit awesome.
So if we were able to eat bread, you know, we could have had little cupcakes.
Can't you make keto-friendly cupcakes?
Probably, but I'm lazy.
And they taste like sawdust.
I was just going to say.
No, they would basically be like cauliflower and food coloring on, something.
They would taste like sawdust if, like, flavor could yell at sawdust from across the room.
There you go.
Yeah. As I'm sitting here eating my high protein keto cookie.
Oh.
Mm. Yeah. I don't eat that well. I eat a lot of McDonald's and I drink a lot of coffee because I live in Tacoma and
it's up in Puyallup, man.
You grew up in Puyallup. I grew up in Graham.
Oh, I remember when Graham had one traffic light.
Yeah.
Mm. I got you both beat. I grew up on the Tulalip Indian Reservation.
Oh, do you have superpowers then?
What?
Shamans.
I was just gonna say, I think all the kids I knew up that were on the res grew up with superpowers.
Oh, probably.
Well, he does
just
have
like,
a
just like all the X-Men, right?
That's he does right. have James Hallett disease, so yeah. I mean, that's something. I mean, his body regenerates his muscles very, very quickly.
Wow, there you go.
Yeah.
I'm very, very envious.
My metabolism is through the roof, and I grow tissue 3 times faster than you do.
Really? Oh. That's actually legit a superpower.
So I think your theory is actually pretty accurate. Honestly,
yeah, I didn't even know that I was going to go for accuracy, but I mean, we've just broken through a new level here.
Yeah. It was it kicked in the summer between 8th and 9th grade. I went from 90 pounds to 160 in 3 months, and the whites of my eyes turned yellow, and I had to go see a doctor.
That's a good call.
Luckily, both my parents are doctors, and they take vials of blood to figure out what the hell is wrong with me. And basically, my body is rebuilding itself, and my liver isn't keeping up with the rest of my body as it's like pushing things through it.
Well, wait, if it's rebuilding itself, so normally cells go through a life cycle, and when they die, they get replaced, right? So then are new cells?
I'm not aging super fast.
You're not, not Benjamin Button?
He's older than me. And no. Benjamin Button, de-aged.
Oh, that's right. He was, reverse. He's older.
Yeah. But they know that if you have, things that kill off your older cells, like your zombie cells out of your body, you actually live longer anyway.
Oh.
Yeah.
So if
your cells are being constantly replaced at a fast enough rate and it's basically eating the old cells to use for new tissue, you would actually live longer in the process.
So that's you're Deadpool.
Yeah, kinda. I think that's why they call it James Hallett disease.
Wolverine.
After Wolverine.
That's amazing. God, that's amazing.
Isn't it cool? Not only are we Jedis in VR, but he's also freaking Wolverine.
No. So, back to my cookie.
Snicked, snicked, snicked. So I was watching your video today, man.
Which one?
You have the one, your 6-month checkup on being full-time on YouTube. And I was talking to you a little bit before we started that, dude, that is impressive because, I knew about you because you were a photographer and stuff with some radio things in Seattle, and then you did some stuff with Adobe, and then we knew each other that way. And
right,
seeing you evolve, getting your first 3D printer, and What was the first thing you made? I can't remember.
See, this was Christmas 2014. I stayed up late at night, and the first thing I produced was a traffic cone, an orange and white traffic cone.
Yeah. I remember watching that. I was like, that is really cool. I was like, man, I really want a 3D printer. I was like, I look on Amazon like, well, I really want a 3D printer someday. But
nowadays, though, they're under $200 for ones that do a really decent job.
Nice. But
yeah, but aren't they like super small as well?
Not necessarily. The build envelope, right? The height, the width, the length, all that. It's not area. See, area is times two, the cube, the volume, right? The build volume. Sometimes it's smaller, sometimes it's larger. But we're at this golden age, right? We've hit this point where under $200 gets you something with an incredibly decent build volume that will print everything you could want to print for a first-time printer. It's astounding.
So if I need to go and fight crime and I need to 3D print myself a superhero suit, could I do that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it'll take you a few thousand hours.
We should make a Go-Boy helmet. 3D printed Go-Boy helmet?
You could. Absolutely.
That would be tight.
Then we could do our podcast like Daft Punk and we just wear the helmets.
Well, what's great, then you could have someone else wear the helmet and do the work for you, but still reap all the benefit.
See, I like
that's true.
That was the thing with Daft Punk, right? You know, if you went to see a Daft Punk concert, you didn't know.
Right.
Yeah, but like MF Doom did that and he got in so much trouble.
Did he?
Yeah. So MF Doom hired another guy to go to his concerts and perform for him.
That's amazing.
And he got caught.
Sounds like a Milli Vanilli episode, you know?
Sorta.
Yeah. That's
a little bit. That's an old reference. I think you and Joel will get that reference. A lot of our audience might not.
The kids won't.
No, the kids won't be like, the what?
The Milli Vanilli. Kids. The Milli Vanilli. Is that a chocolate?
Back in the day, there was a band, and they were lip singing at an award show, and the tape, because they used tapes back then, started skipping, and they got caught for lip syncing, and it turned out that there was another band doing all the music for these two guys, and they were essentially just male models.
Yeah, yep. They were just these, and they had were twins too, right? Weren't they twins or like brothers or something, right? Because they had like the same hair. They looked almost exactly alike, I think.
I don't remember, but that sounds familiar.
But they were.
And they had to give their awards back.
Yes, they did. And then one of them killed themselves.
Oh, well.
So, I mean, boy, I brought that down. I'm sorry.
Well,
it was a fun story a minute ago.
Just for a brief moment. For a brief moment, we felt joy. It was exciting.
Let's make fun of these guys. One of them died. Okay, let's stop that.
While we're at it, let's go make fun of children with cancer.
Yeah. Run credit. Runs credits. This is interesting, though. I do 3D printing, and you guys do VR stuff, which and VR means you have three-dimensional models within a given space. So we are like our Venn diagram intersects quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. So we have a friend named Eric Newman who created a product called Strudel Doodle.
Strudel Doodle.
Yeah.
Sounds like drawing with cookies.
A little bit. But basically it's like Tilt Brush, but it's volumetric. And there's an export button to what's the platform where you can see the 3D models, move them around?
Yeah, the file format? You mean like
it's a whole website.
Oh,
like
Sketchiverse, My Mini Factory,
Sketchfab.
Oh, yeah. Sketchfab. Okay.
Yeah, and then you can from there you can 3D print the models you make.
That's kind of really cool.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
We did an episode with him. It was like second or third episode we did in on High Fidelity, but he like made all these cool like models and stuff. We placed them all over the stage, and it was cool. And then we had the first VR flash mob at that episode too.
Oh yeah.
Wait, that's a thing?
Well, no, he got a bunch of his friends to show up as his avatar.
Okay.
So we had like 30 people as Eric Newman, and we couldn't find our guest.
I don't know if you know, but on our show, me and Eugene have 3D body scan versions of ourselves.
I've seen it, yeah.
So like, Eric has the same thing, and he was like, I don't know if I was supposed to tell everyone the URL of my model, but I did, and there might be like 30 or 40 of me here at the episode tonight. There was like 30 or 40 of them in the episode.
No, I saw the message he sent to everybody. It was like, hey, we're doing a flash mob at Glitched on this date. Show up in high fidelity with my model. Here's the link. Oh, and P.S. do not tell Eugene and Dover. As soon as I got home from doing that show, Yao, my girlfriend, like, showed me the message and just, like, pointed fantastic. And laughed at me.
It was
like,
really funny.
What the hell?
Someone, do you know Jen Davis Wilson? She goes by Fiona. She's in VR chat. She creates stuff in VR chat. She, I have a Joelbot. That's one of my avatar, one of my logos. And she created a Joelbot VR chat character that people can use.
That's dope.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I should get into VR chat sometime, I suppose.
I'm always so amazed at what people are making inside of virtual reality or 3D printing. It like that level of ingenuity and creativity just never ceases. It's just amazing.
I just love the fact that like literally anyone can create anything they want. Like, it's getting to the level like, you wouldn't 3D print a car, would you? Fuck yeah, I would. Are you kidding me? I would absolutely 3D print a car. I would illegally download a car.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. If it was out there, I mean, yes, you would 3D print a car.
It's kind of crazy that, like, you know, we had those commercials in the 90s, like, you wouldn't illegally download a movie, you wouldn't illegally download a car. It's like, yeah, we totally would. And we're getting to that point where, like, everyone can literally, like, they're going to be able to make whatever they want. We're going to have, like, microwaves where you, like, go to the Pirate Bay for 3D printing, and you download something, and it's going to, like, make everything you want, and just, I don't know, it's crazy.
Well, we're at that point now. It's not necessarily because, you know, it was like, don't copy that floppy. It was like, you wouldn't download a car. It's not that you would download a car, but there's going to be dozens of people out there who've made copies of name brand cars that you could just download, right? It's going to be it's the very Wild West.
Is there like I guess this might sound like a stupid question because I'm not super deep into the world of 3D printing.
That's okay, me neither.
Is there like a super like a carbon fiber type of like 3D printing that you can do now? Like a super strong that you could make like a fender of a car out of?
Like, yes. So that's available. There are carbon fiber impregnated materials that you can print with that that add. So there's two types. There's chopped fiber and there's strand fiber. And we have the ability to print with both. So you can get chopped carbon fiber materials where the material itself is impregnated with a chopped carbon fiber. It doesn't really add to the strength of it because it's not in strand form, but it adds to the rigidity and the stiffness of it. Which is kind of cool. Plus, the texture of it is crazy, and it can be lighter, and it's weird, and it's awesome. But there are also machines that print in a nylon or a nylon-based material, and then lay in carbon fiber strand. And so it's strong doesn't even begin to describe it. Like, I'll get a piece of plastic about that long, and just maybe an eighth of an inch thick, and I can't bend it.
So, So, tell us a little bit more about the channel. Like, so you've been full time for like a year. You got you said in a couple of days, like your 1 year anniversary of being full time YouTube.
That's right. So Feb 2, 2018 is when I gave my it was like my first day of being full time. So. I'd given notice at Adobe and said, hey, guys, I think I gave 12 days notice because it just I had to go on a trip. So I just timed it out. So, yeah, in a couple of days as of this recording, it'll be 1 year. And let's see, we've met with the accountant multiple times because I have an accountant now. I guess that's what you need. And we've made enough in content production so the kids don't have to fight over ramen packets. They can eat food and they can continue to do sports and we can continue to have heat It's very nice.
Okay. There you go. And you get to do what you love.
It's crazy. So one of the things, because I was at I started the channel a few months after I started at Adobe. And, you know, I was working at Adobe, but then my channel just grew and it kept growing. And it got to the point where I wasn't getting enough sleep. And I know Eugene posted on Facebook, he was like, when do you need to hire an editor? I'm like, you know, when it when it impacts your quality of life. So what was happening was I was spending too much time shooting content, editing content, producing content, rendering content, publishing content, and not enough time sleeping. And I was getting crazy, crazy headaches, and I was starting to forget words. So I talked to a neurologist, and my neurologist, wonderful human, he goes, you should quit your job, Joel. Really? Okay, that's what I'll do. I mean, I didn't follow that advice exactly, but I remember after I did quit my job, I went to him and I was like, you were right. I quit my job and I feel better. And he was like, good job. Good job.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
How scary was it, like, taking the leap? Like, because you left a pretty sweet job.
Yeah.
And, like, that must have been, like, you had to really... It takes a lot of confidence to leave something that's so lucrative and then follow a passion that is on a platform that has, you know, has the tendency to switch their rules at any second.
And, yes.
But I mean, like, you're doing great, but like, what was that like?
It wasn't as scary as you might think it was. So what's interesting when you have a job and you have a growing YouTube channel, I mean, I was a software engineer at Adobe. I was well compensated, and all of the money, or most of the money I made from YouTube, just went into a bank account ever since it became monetized. I mean, we used some of it to help with like a family vacation, pay some credit cards down, fix my car, blah, blah, et cetera. But for the most part, when I said, I'm going full time with YouTube, I had enough money from YouTube already that I had a 6-month runway. I said, I'm gonna make this work. If I can't after 6 months say this is working, then at least I know I gave it a good shot, right? Because 6 months is enough time to try something, reevaluate, change if need be, and then keep trying. And I kept going. I just kept going. I thought, well, what I'm doing right now is working. Why would I want to change that? So I just kept going and then used the spare time I had now to invest more time in the business, keeping track of the books, being able to visit more companies, trying to produce better content. And, well, I mean, I'm still going. And according to the accountant, I can keep doing this. So I'll just keep doing
it. I love it. I was working at a YouTube consulting company.
Wow.
And I was an art director, and because it's a YouTube consulting company, I was not being paid what an art director should be paid.
No, you weren't, were you?
No. I like an art director is you think like 80, 90, 120 grand a year.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. When you're an art director at a YouTube consulting company, you make about 20, 25. Right? And I did it for a year and a half. And I couldn't move out of my parents' house.
I bet
because
not.
Because I'm in the Pacific Northwest. And I knew that VR was going to become a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody showed me a VR headset. I don't know if you know Lou Ward.
Mm-mm, I do not.
All right. Anyway. And he showed me this project that he was starting on. And it was the Gear VR had been out for like 2 weeks. He had a test project where it was the Disney's Iron Giant walking over to you, picking you up and lifting you, and then walking with you in his hand.
Oh.
And I had never seen it before in my life. And I took it off, and we were at this bar right after the Adobe meetup.
Oh,
the After Effects meetup. And I went, this is the future.
Yeah.
And I saved up every cent I could for the next 3 months, and then I quit that job to pursue VR full-time.
Wow.
I was there the night that Eugene experienced VR for the first time, and it was magical. I remember he was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. This is so crazy. This is nuts. And, like, I think I had probably That might have been one of my first forays into VR as well. Because that was probably a good year before the Vive came out.
Oh, okay. This was a while ago.
Before our first VR night at the After Effects Seattle meetup too. Because I had only played with like a DK2 when it first came out.
That was the Oculus development kit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Seth at Adobe had let me borrow. And I took it home for 2 weeks, and I downloaded every single free program I could find, and it was just like I was inside someone's body. And I was looking at their intestines, and then I was in this room where every time you looked one way, when you looked back, it was different, and you look back this way, and you're in a different. It blew my mind, and so I took it around to like all my parents' houses, all the family dinners, and I had everyone try it out. I lugged my huge computer out so I could show everyone, and it was blowing my mind so much. And me and Eugene had like this same like, just like. What the hell is this? This is gonna change literally everything. And
oh yeah,
we just I guess what 3 years ago we kind of decided like we should work on some stuff together. And we got Studio Cap'n going about 2 years ago.
Okay,
officially we signed the paperwork 1 year ago. Like 5-6 days ago.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I guess it hasn't been long. But yeah, like... Yeah,
but... I've been... Like, I'll take a small contract here and there to help pay the bills and whatnot, but I've been in the same boat as you for the last 2 years.
That's fantastic, man.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
It's... Yeah, it's...
So cool.
Yeah. So do you play much VR?
I have... Let's see. I played with VR... before my first experience with VR was really at Adobe where I sat Mitch, who's on the Premier support team. Mm-hmm. He sat across from me and he had it set up in his office. And so I did Robo Recall. That was like my first experience. And I was like, this is awesome. And then Google Earth just blew me away. We ended up buying a PlayStation 4 Pro with the VR on it. Mm-hmm. That was fun. We bought that just to get the kids' experience into it. Really, it was just because I was like, I can't wait for Beat Saber. I know it's going to come to this at some point, so I just need to get this. And then I picked up an Oculus headset, and I bought the motion controllers.
Yeah.
And so we have that set up in one room, and we have the PlayStation in another room. And I don't have any time to play with either one, but it's there in case I do.
I wonder how we could we can mix VR and the 3D printing somehow. We should like make things in VR and then do like a collab video.
Well, people do that all. There's a guy on YouTube. His name is Devin. He has a channel called Make Anything, and he is an incredibly talented designer. And he goes into VR and does sculpting, and then is able to 3D print the designs.
That's cool. Yeah, we follow a bunch of. Really cool VR sculpting people. We got an Instagram channel or an Instagram that we post a lot of really cool stuff to on what people make, and it's called Polygon Artists. So
it's called what? Wait, I'm gonna go find it right now.
It's a Polygon Artists group, but the hashtag is Polygon Art, or the at symbol is Polygon Art.
Polygon Art. Okay.
Yeah. Should have like a little polygon purple symbol. But so one of the things we wanted to do, or one of the things we've been doing this past year, is we've been trying new things and figuring out how to make things grow organically and go viral.
Okay.
And this was one of our experience. This is one of our like tests. And in the first 4 months, we made this channel grow 10,000.
10,000 wow. followers in 4 months.
And then in the last month, we've put almost 4,500 on it.
Wow.
With no follow for follow, no sub for sub, none of that crap.
Yeah,
this
is purely organic.
We haven't spent a dollar advertising this.
Yeah.
That's great.
So, yeah, what we wanted to do is we wanted to really experiment on how we could, like, somehow engage the art community and the 3D art community.
Yeah.
With a like a curated account is what they call them on Instagram, is where you kind of give props to everyone else who makes really cool art.
Oh, okay.
So you get you help them get followers. You kind of put them on a little bit, and so we basically showcase a lot of other artists, and people love it. And it was it's been a great.
Wow. Here's the weird thing: we get about 100 submissions a day now, and we only post between 8 and 12 of them.
Yeah.
Because it's cool. Are people DM?
So we get a lot of DMs, and we've actually had to ask people to stop DMing us their art. Because we want them to use our hashtag, you know.
Which is Polygon
Art. Polygon Artic Group.
Artist Group. Okay.
And so, the handle is Polygon Artists. And then the hashtag is the Polygon Art Group. So they post their thing, stick it in their 30 hashtags that they have. We see it in the shared. Then we see it. We pick it up if we like it. We post it to the page. And it's kind of this
ever-flowing
thing, you know. Wow. It's cool. It's fun.
It is cool.
Yeah. And
that's
right
a great
now,
idea.
Yeah, and so right now we're trying to figure out how to set up a 24-hour streaming service of like lo-fi hip hop for people to make art to for this community that we've already built on Instagram.
Oh, okay. And you're not talking about using like Twitch or YouTube or
no. So we want to use Instagram Live, and we want to use YouTube as a way to do this.
Oh. Yes. So the idea is we actually went to TwitchCon. Well, he got lucky enough to go to TwitchCon this year. We both went last year, and we actually ended up meeting the Fail Army crew at one of the breakout rooms they had there. And I had no idea, but Fail Army has been making so much content for so long. They actually, they have enough content that they just stick all their fail videos on a 24-hour playlist. And it's on Twitch, and it plays 24 hours long every single day. And then it just keeps on going, and they rack in the views, and they get their brand down. We're like, well, we have Polygon artists. Let's set up a dedicated computer that literally just, you know, runs OBS and then pushes to all the different places that you can push a live video out for 24 hours. And we just let it run. And we're in the process of setting that up. And that's going to be another one of our little experiments to see, you know, how the community likes that type of stuff.
That's a fantastic idea. Yeah. I mean, that's a great idea, because it's just, oh, man. Oh, excuse me. I want to do something like that. How can I?
Well, why don't you take it with us? Yeah. And we'll, you know, help you set it up, and you know, we'll collaborate.
Yeah, because you could literally take 3D Printing Nerd. You have so much freaking content. You could have like the 3D Printing Nerd 24-hour stream, and it could just be
literally just like one item all the time.
And you're just like, we're going to make a traffic cone. We're going to make a skull. We're going to make a T-Rex shower head. And it just plays on a loop. And people can tune in like they watch like Seinfeld at night, but instead they're watching you.
or you record, you know, 10 different items being 3D printed over, you know, 20, 30 hours.
Yeah.
And then you just set it to elevator music.
Oh, my God. That would be perfect, because that's so like Zen to watch.
Yeah. Just...
So make a print that takes like 24 hours and just set it to elevator music, and then film the whole thing, and then just repeat it every day.
And set up your webcam and just set up a new item.
I know Twitch used to have rules that said you couldn't just stream a printer printing.
Oh,
YouTube has nothing against that.
No, they don't. No, not at all. Mm-hmm. Not at all.
Yeah, what we're trying to figure out, one of our biggest pickles that we've been trying to figure out is Instagram doesn't have like a public API so that you can like patch in to stream live from a service.
Oh.
So we found some workarounds.
We found a PHP workaround.
But we're keeping it secret, right, Eugene? No way.
We're keeping it secret a little bit, but we might have one of the first like Instagram Live 24-hour streams if we can figure this out. But we really like figuring out these like hacky ways to like that people aren't doing this, but we know it's possible somehow.
Sure.
Like, there's obviously some way to do it. Like, I was streaming live to Instagram because I wanted to stream my Beat Saber gameplay live to Instagram, but I couldn't do it because all my Beat Saber gameplay is keyed with the green screen behind me.
Right.
And that it has to run through OBS, and OBS does the key, and then I have graphics on the front. So it would have to take the OBS stream and throw that into Instagram, but there is no RTMP server that you can access.
Okay.
So what I would do is I would set up I have this little tool called a nasty clamp that I got like 12 years ago.
A nasty clamp.
It's like a little it's a clamp with like one of those bendy arms that looks like a dildo. But okay. It's got like a little quarter inch screw thing on it, so you just hook up like a cell phone or whatever. But what I would do is I would stream my Beat Saber gameplay to YouTube, and then I would set up my laptop sideways, and then I would set up my my clamp to watch my screen perfectly with a box around it, so it was all blacked out. And then the music would feed in, you could hear it, so you could actually see me playing on Instagram Live, playing Beat Saber, comment on it, but I'd actually be streaming it out to YouTube, and then YouTube would be feeding that via just a mounted camera. It's this whole weird, wild, like...
No, but that makes sense. That makes total sense. Yeah, it's the perfect hack.
And then people, if you can make it look good enough, people don't realize. They're like, how are you doing this? Like, you can't do this. This is impossible. How do you do this? And then we're like, gotcha. You know? So, anyways.
Hey.
Tangent.
What's that black box next to you?
Oh.
That black box?
Oh, this.
Oh, yes.
This old thing. This is a looking glass, and this is I was part of their Kickstarter, and I got a box, and I just haven't taken it out of the box.
Does that mean we get to talk and possibly look inside the box?
We get to unbox
are you saving that for an unboxing video?
That will be I'll have to take that out of the box on camera, but we can talk about it.
Awesome.
I really want to hear about this, because I must have missed what the looking glass was.
How did you miss this? It's all
over,
man. I have
no idea.
The looking glass is a holographic display. It is a box, and you can put 3D content in it. And then as you move around the box, the view of the 3D content changes. So I think what it's doing is it's putting up a continuous 42 slices. Mm-hmm. Or 42 views of 3D content, and as you turn, then the lens or the box or whatever is just able to let you focus on the one that you need to see.
Well, you know those like holographic images that have like all the different slices, and you look at the 45-degree angle in each way, and you get two different images, and it gives you that parallax feel.
Right.
Yeah, that's actually what it is.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay.
Yeah, that's what it is. It has a Unity API, I believe.
Yep, yep.
And so you throw your 3D model or animation in it, and then it does the calculations, and it repeats the two images against the glass and gives the illusion of a hologram.
That's right.
Interesting. Yeah, I pulled up the YouTube video I'm looking at right now. This is pretty freaking sweet.
They work with the Magic Leap controller to be able to manipulate the like 3D models with that you're looking at through the looking glass.
Oh, I'm looking at that right now. Yeah, he's got like his hands. He's like picking up the people.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Dude,
and it's great because you're looking at it through a 2D, you know, image. And so it's really hard to get to actually grasp it without seeing it in front of you with your own two eyes.
Hmm. So how much was it on the Kickstarter since you got one?
I think it was one credit card.
Oh, okay.
I think it was $3.99. I just knew. I was like, ooh, that's cool. Ooh, I want one. And I hit a button. A short time later, it showed up.
Nice, nice. I saw some really cool holographic stuff when I was at CES last year.
Mm-hmm.
They have these massive like spinning LED wheels, but what they do is they daisy chain like 50 of them together.
Hypervision.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
They had a big booth there this year.
So cool! Like that looks like Blade Runner style like holographics.
Yes, like floating in midair stuff.
Yeah,
it's
like they had shoes that were full on 3D like spinning like Adidas. I was like, what?
Yeah.
It was very impressive. It the Hollis.
I took Jerry Barnicles. He was down at CES with me, and we were going to look at a racing simulator on the lower floor. But like it was here, and as you looked up, you saw the Hypervision that they had up high. And I'm like, Jerry, we need to go see that first. And he was just like, what is this? And just blown away. It's fun to see someone's first viewing of it because their eyes just get big and they're like, what is going on?
Well, it's because you don't really realize what you're seeing because they are spinning so fast because you don't realize that it's just like spinning LED fan. It's essentially a massive one of those like LED fans that say like happy birthday, but they have like massive amounts of LEDs on them and they're porting these 3D images through them. And it's fantastic. I had
this battery powered device that was LEDs that hooked onto the spokes of my bicycle tire or my bicycle wheel. And then as you rode at night, you created a pattern because it spun so fast. So
super cool. So do you know the origin of the technique that the Looking Glass uses?
No.
So it's a method called lenticular painting.
Okay.
And originally in the Jewish religion, so this is the way it was told to me, in the Jewish religion, you're not able to paint portraits of people because it gives rise to idolizing.
Oh, is what it is. Okay.
Okay. So this young artist whose father was a rabbi went, hey, I really want to be a painter. And the father went, I will not give my blessing, you know, if you're going to paint people. And so he was like, well, what if I take two images and I cut it up and I put them in strands so you don't have a single image, but you'll always have a morphing image based on where you're looking. And he kind of went, I don't see anything wrong with that, actually. And so that's actually that's what I was told, the origin of lenticular painting with the 45-degree slats comes from.
That's...
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Huh, okay.
Yeah. I actually learned that on a Alaskan cruise ship. Because they have art galleries on these cruise ships now, and they try to, you know, sell you the art by giving you the, like, the history behind them.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right on.
Huh.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
You know, I got to test one out the other day. They're super cool. They're very basic for what they are.
Oh, yeah. But it's all Gen 1. It's like Gen 1 stuff.
Oh, yeah. Right? It's very... It's like early VR. It's going to be very gimmicky.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Is what it is.
It's like the new digital picture frame.
Oh, it's exactly what it is.
It's going to have very specific applications where it's going to be either really, really cool or really useful. But it's going to be hyper-focused at those very specific applications. And anybody that has one beyond that is just going to be either a fan of tech or someone that just loves it, right?
Yeah. The demo I got to try was there was a guy named Albert Wong over at the CoMotion Labs, and he works for Looking Glass. And so he had one set up on his desk, and he set a what's the little bar where you can put your hand over and it reads the...
Isn't that the magic leap?
Leap motion. He had a leap motion, and so I could put my hand over it, and a hand would appear inside of the casing, and it would mess with the model, and the model would have to like react to your hand.
See, that's
I
just
love that.
Awesome. Right? That's like magic voodoo.
It really is.
Basically. It turned something that I saw as very gimmicky into like interactive experience.
Yeah. Wow. So I mean, I'll take it out of the box at some point. I'll try to use it, but stuff like that, it's cool, and stuff like that, you know, I'm never going to use, and so I might use it as like a giveaway on the channel at some point.
You know, you might one of probably the better applications I can imagine is probably when I first started in the industry outside of college, I worked at a digital signage company. And so I worked at this warehouse, and they were taking TVs, they were converting them into digital signage displays with special chip and a dongle that fed to a network where you could send videos and images to. Oh, and what they found out when people took these digital signs, because you didn't have to like print paper all the time, you could just upload a new image and stick it in a supermarket or whatever, and it would ever have like rotating imagery.
Oh yeah.
Whatever was on that digital signage was 30% higher to sell.
Meaning 30%.
Okay, so if you had a static poster,
yeah,
you know, you had so many sales, but if you had an ad of the same poster, just a little bit of movement, it was 30% higher likely to sell.
That's a crazy stat.
Yeah. So what happens when you have a commercial that you can interact with?
Yeah.
That's Minority Report, amazing. That's Minority Report.
Right. Yeah, basically.
Well, I mean, honestly, like I've heard this a lot, is like the thing about VR, man, is like it's really the only thing that could overtake the internet. In reality, when you think about it, like the internet overtook like TV, or TV overtook radio, kind of. And then like the only thing that really usurped the internet, I think, is going to be virtual reality.
You're talking like, Ready Player One,
right? We're
talking about the
metaverse. No, we're talking about the metaverse.
The metaverse.
Which is the virtual reality version of the internet.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So like people used to huddle around TVs and watch TVs. Now people huddle around YouTube, and they build businesses on the internet, and they converse and hang out on the internet. But like the only thing that can really change the way we like really view the world is like virtual reality. Cause like when you can like create your own world and you can go hang out there, like, man, it's going to be. And things like this, like being able to like have virtual reality elements in the world in advertising, is just going to push us that way so much quicker.
Well, technically, if you have interaction for the module, the looking glass box, technically that's a form of augmented reality.
True.
When you can interact with it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the advent of more sophisticated yet more easier to use mobile devices is kind of what drove massive internet adoption. So is it true to say that once we get VR headsets or VR devices that are more sophisticated yet easier to operate for the normal user and cheaper, is that what's going to drive then a more massive adoption of the metaverse?
I think so.
Well, so there's definitely a difference between the metaverse, which is virtual reality centric, and an AR world, which is where you just have like lenses over your eyes, and they are electronically hooked up to your watch, which is basically a compact PC, and it's just running all the calculations for you. And so in like 10 years, when we have like a 6G network nationwide, which is what, 3 to 32 terabytes a second of information being pumped out.
Jeez.
Yeah. So basically what you can have are like lenses, and they remap your entire world in front of you.
Oh,
I call it I call it the Lord of the Rings view. Because somebody's going to be like, I want to be in an elf world.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everybody's going to be like, oh, sweet. Lenses. Middle Earth, please.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to walk down the street like it's Blade Runner, or I want to go to the Shire, or whatever I want, you know?
Well, we're getting some of that right now when you have phone games that allow you that just augment the display as you look through them, right?
Right.
Like the Walking Dead game. And the Google Glass attempted to do that, right?
Yeah, they attempted, but, you know, their tracking wasn't great.
No.
Their field of view was, you know, terrible.
Well, that's garbage.
Magic Leap is, you know, leaps and bounds better.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Google Glass coined the term glass hole, which I thought was probably one of the best things that come from that.
We are coming up on time, though. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We are.
See, well, hey, this is the fun stuff, man. You just talk about
all sorts of fun stuff. We can have you back on the show at some time. This has been great.
Sure.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to do this again. This is fun, man.
This was an easy conversation. I mean, we really just nerded out about a bunch of stuff.
I know, right? Dude, congratulations on your success on YouTube.
Thank you.
Like, I've been watching you since you started your channel, and it's just seriously, it is impressive to see a person that I've watched for so long go from one subscriber to so many, and quit his job and like pursue a passion.
Yeah,
I love seeing people pursue their passions. It's just it's heartwarming to me.
I love that I'm able to do this and yield success. I think because if I was pursuing my passion, I had startup companies before. If I was pursuing my passion, yet, you know, we had to turn the heat down, save money. That's fun. But at the same time, ooh, that sucks. But, you know, if you're following your passion and you're seeing some success that helps, you know, sustain your family, then that is what warms my heart.
And plus, you know, having kids, being a stay-at-home dad, it's kind of priceless. Let's be honest.
It's cool being able to take the kids to school and be able to pick them up as well.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Right on, man. Well, congratulations to you. Where can everyone find you online? Like, where are all the places?
Boy, the easiest place is to find episodes of 3D Printing Nerd on YouTube. You can go to youtube.com/3DPrintingNerd. I also have a website that I barely maintain at the3dprintingnerd.com. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Joel Telling. And I'm at Joel Telling on Instagram as well. And facebook.com/3dprintingnerd.
And of course, we will have all those links in the description. And you can find us. Everyone knows where to find us.
I mean, if you're watching this, you know where to find you. Or we're listening to this. if you'd like to support the show, you can go to chamber01.bigcartel.com and buy some of our lovely cyberpunk merch. Like
ooh,
this.
Do it. Hey, like I could get some merch and wear it on the show.
Reality is virtual t-shirt that I'm currently wearing.
And I wore mine the other day and it's dirty and it stinks because I was skateboarding it. So okay. I'm not going to wear it right now. But it's a great shirt.
I'm sure it smells really good right now. It
smells ripe. Ripe. Anyways, my name is Topher Welsh. We've been here with Joel Telling.
Woo!
My co-host, my lovely co-host,
Cap'n Design.
We will see you guys next time. Stay glitched.
Stay glitched.
Yeah.